Is your business struggling? Do you need a custom business plan to get ahead? All you need to do is ask Sharifa, the premier business consultant who is focused on your success. From digital marketing to business planning, I bring over 25 years of experience to work for you. As a host of three different talk shows, I can get you connected to your audience right away. Visit AskSharifa.com for more information. Do not face the unknown alone.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, and thank you for joining me on another episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. I am your host, Sharifa Hardy, and guess what? I know it's a surprise, but I have some amazing guests for you today. We're going to have an amazing show, interesting guests, so many different questions that we're going to ask. But before I go ahead and invite our guests, you know what I'm going to do? I do the same thing every day, 8 a.m., Monday through Friday. I invite you. Matter of fact, today, because I'm feeling good, I implore you to go out and be an evangelist for the Roundtable Talk Show. I am sure there's someone in your neighborhood, there's someone in your house, there's someone at work. I don't know, someone somewhere needs to learn this information. They need to hear about the Roundtable Talk Show, and you're the only one who can bring it to them. So while you're going ahead and sharing the show with your friends, I'm going to go ahead and introduce our first guest. And our first guest is Miss Sharice Patton. Sharice Patton is founder and principal publicist of SLP Media Relations, a boutique public relations firm that works with both companies and individuals. Whether you have a nonprofit organization, fashion lifestyle brand, or beauty brand, they have a service to help you. Good morning, Sharice. How are you?
Good morning. How are you? I was looking around like, God, that's an incredible intro. I'm like, who's she talking about?
I'm talking about you. Everybody says it. They're like, it sounds different. That's you. Claim it.
How are you this morning?
I'm excited. I'm only doing three shows this week, Monday through Wednesday. I took Thursday, Friday off of last week, Thursday, Friday of this week off. Just go relax. How about you? How you feeling?
I'm feeling good. I'm doing the same thing. Today is pretty much it. I'm closing the books for 2020 today and half of tomorrow. And then we're going to look forward to 2021. I'm excited. This year has to go better. 2020 was just a complete monkey wrench for the most part. So I'm definitely looking forward to 2021 and what it has to offer.
Yes, I completely agree. Tell us a little bit about what you do, Sharice.
I work with beauty brands mostly. I do work with some lifestyle brands and nonprofit organizations. For nonprofits, it's mainly event coordination and fundraising. So I've worked with a youth group before on their fundraising efforts. And we actually put on this big, huge event for kids around Detroit to play baseball, if anything, because there weren't a lot of kids that even knew about the sport or even how to play it. So we put
on- How to play baseball?
Yeah, you'd be surprised. Some kids, they want to play, but they have no clue how to play or how to get to where they can play. It's not a whole lot of baseball teams around Detroit for the most part. So we put on this big, huge event for kids. And actually we had someone who made it almost to the All-Star game for the series of the event. So it was really exciting. But I work with organic beauty brands also. And that's basically increasing their media outreach and getting them to media outlets that they're looking to get to.
That was interesting. When you said baseball, I was just kind of surprised. You know, my hearing's not the same. So I wanted to make sure I heard you correctly. You know, because when you say baseball is as American as apple pie. You know, when you think of other sports, if you would have said croquet or something like that, then I would have like, yeah, you know, but I guess it depends on where you are. So you're helping people, you're helping beauty brands, but why are you so passionate about helping others?
You get a lot of people who want to start something and they just don't know how. They don't know where to start. They don't know about brand colors. They don't know about, you know, their logos, what it should look like, what their mission statement should be, what their bio should be. So I just saw a need, even though, you know, there are plenty of publicists in the area, but it was like, wow, this is something I could really do. And, you know, when it's something that you just can't stop thinking about, it becomes an absolute passion. And I can't sleep sometimes because I'm like, wow, what am I going to do? How can I create this new outlet for someone? So it's just an overall passion to help people do things. Then when you see it all come together, it's like, wow, I had a hand in doing that. So it's just a feeling that I get from helping people with their branding.
When you say you can't sleep, one of the things that happens to me when I can't sleep is that I always tend to be full of ideas in the middle of the night. If something comes to me, I have this idea, something I'm passionate about, something I have to do. Is that the same with you?
It's something I have to do and I have to write it down because I don't want to forget it. So I literally have a notebook that stays by my bed. If I'm up and I think of something, I have to write it down.
Mm-hmm. What is the response to the ideas that you have?
For me or for the people that I present it to?
The response that the people you present it to give to you.
Some people may feel like it's kind of cliche, like that's obvious, but it's not that obvious to everyone. If someone comes to me and say, well, I'm not getting the attention from my brand, from my logo, or I'm not grasping people's attention. And I'll say, well, you know, your logo is kind of busy. You need to, you know, tone it down a little bit. Take this out. Don't put this image in there. They'll go, well, everybody says that. But then it's like, yeah, because that's right. So for the most part, you get a lot of people that feel like, well, this is something that I can just do myself. But then they'll try to do it and then it may not work the same. So for me, being a publicist, that's the strain of it all, is you trying to convince people that even though it may seem like I'm telling you the same thing that other people are saying, I'm right though. So that's the biggest thing, is like, I just want you to, it's about getting people to trust the process, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And a lot of people just, you know, they have a hard time doing that.
Mm-hmm. But if you're saying it and other people are saying it as well, then it's maybe it's something that they need to listen to.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And that's kind of the way I put it, is like, you don't want to say it that way, but it's kind of like, well, if you talk to two other publicists that told you the same thing, then there's a reason why we're all saying that. So you can either take my advice or you could take theirs. But if we're all saying the same thing, then we're probably right.
Absolutely. I want to talk a little bit more about the specifics of what you do and the advice that you give, but I'm going to come back to you, Charisse. I want to go ahead and introduce my next guest, Ms. Menasha Dixon. Menasha is the CEO and founder of Anasa LLC, a private real estate investment company specializing in underdeveloped multifamily homes with high growth potential. At age 17, prior to starting her business, she enlisted in the United States Navy. She has served on 3 nuclear aircraft carriers, and she is now working as a Navy recruiter in California with her family and their pet dog. Good morning, Menasha. How are you?
Thank you. Good morning. And I will have to agree with the co-host. I was trying to recognize who that was.
That's you. That's all you.
Thank you. Good morning. And thank you for having me on the show. Yes, I am the CEO and founder of Anasa. I started my company last year for the purpose of going into undeveloped areas to create affordable housing. With 2020, for some people, you know, it may not have been the best year, but for me, it's been a great learning year to be able to use it as a stepping stone to build my business, to grow, aspire, and learn, not only from my own mistakes, from other companies' mistakes, or even from what they're thriving for. So for me, I can't wait for 2021 to get here, for the new adventures, the new excitement, and to see where I can take my company.
So, but you had a different trajectory. You went from the military all the way to being an entrepreneur and being self-employed. How did you make that transition?
Well, I'm actually doing them simultaneously. I am currently active duty. Absolutely love the Navy. However, being in the Navy, they teach you that you need to always have a plan A, plan B, plan C, and so forth. So for me, I did achieve receiving my associate's degree and I'm working on my bachelor's. However, we all learned that one income is just not enough. So when I started my business, it was for originally going into income purposes. But as I learned and growed, I realized that going into undeveloped areas for the need of housing, 2020 taught us that there is a need, that we have to have it. And it's just something that most people, for not only entrepreneurs, not only real estate developers, but just something that most people, when they hear affordable housing, they automatically think of government assisted housing or Section 8, which is not always the case. So that is something that I wanted to make a change, and something I wanted to do differently than other entrepreneurs and real estate developers.
Well, let's expand on that. For people who are unaware of any other outlets, what are some of the other resources aside from government assistance and Section 8?
Well, it's affordable housing. Affordable housing can just be going into rural areas and creating housing even right outside the city, or it may be a couple of miles from major cities where it's just more affordable than living in the city within itself for renting purposes.
Okay, because I guess the question was, is it just private individuals purchasing this property, or if it's affordable housing, again, we tend to think of the government. So this is just anyone going into a neighborhood and purchasing homes.
That is correct, and it's private, because for government-assisted homes or government-assisted housing, there are certain stipulations you have to meet in order to be able to receive it. There's also different program requirements that you have to meet. For affordable housing, it can be anyone that's going to the area and being able to do so, to provide that housing at a little bit of an affordable cost, so it doesn't necessarily have to be government housing and, you know, regulated. It can be, let's say you wanted to purchase a home and have it at an affordable rate where families can afford to live in that area.
Okay, that makes sense, because a lot of people aren't very familiar with it. It's a new area for people. So I thank you for that information. I'm going to come back to you. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, Mrs. Patricia Stallworth. Money equals choices, and money expert Patricia Stallworth, CFP, helps professionals and entrepreneurs navigate the money maze to save more, earn more, invest more, and spend intentionally to have more choices. She accomplishes this mission in two distinct ways: financial planning to create a step-by-step guide to follow, along with accountability, and education that empowers clients to become actively involved in implementing their plan. Good morning, Patricia. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I love your smile. Thank you for joining us.
Oh, it's great to be here.
I see. I like to play this game on the roundtable talk show sometimes. I'll say, I spy with my little eye, you know, and right now I'm spying a book back there.
What's yes. That? Yes. That's my Minding Your Money book. When I first started in business, I kept getting the same questions over and over again. And I said, you know, I'm going to write a book. I'm just going to put all this in a book so that whenever somebody comes in, or if somebody really doesn't want to come into the office, because I was working at a financial planning office at the time, they can buy the book. And so it was so funny. I sort of let that go, and I left that company. And I was walking around one day, and this guy says to me, he said, "So how's the book coming?" And I said, It's coming along. And he says, "You know, I know that you're writing that book because you always do everything you say you're going to do." And at that moment, I hadn't really written one word. And so I told him, "It's coming out in 3 months." And I went home that day and I sat down and I just started writing and writing and writing. And in 3 months, I produced that book.
I think that's wonderful, because I had a guest on the show, and I hope he's not listening today, because I can't for the life of me remember his name. But what he said is that if you give a future date and you actually put it out there that you're going to release this book on this date, it mm-hmm. obligates you to do that. So the fact that you said it for 3 months, you had to do it. You had to make it happen. And I love the title. It reminds me of Minding Your Manners. You know, it's so polite. It's like, okay, well, mind your money. I think that's wonderful. What are some of the tips or resources or strategies that you advocate for in your book?
It's really a book based upon, one of the things that's so important is that your mindset kind of drives everything that you do. Mm-hmm. And so in the book, we start out with cultivating that I can do mindset, or wealthy mindset. And so it really takes you through this whole strategy of how you can really take charge or take control of your money. And when you finish, it has exercises and things inside of it. When you finish, you actually have your own personal financial plan that you can, you know, implement yourself, take to your advisor, or just say, "I've got a financial plan," you know, kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. You mentioned something that was gold, Patricia, the money mindset. Being a business consultant, I speak with so many different people, and I can almost instantly recognize when someone has a poor or negative money mindset. I'll give you a brief example. I was working with a client and she was saying she wasn't making any money. She wasn't making any sales, but on her actual website, she had three revenue streams. She had one revenue stream that was $3. She had one revenue stream that was roughly $20. And then she actually made money from her seminars, which were roughly $2,500. But the only thing that was on her homepage was the $3 service that she offered. And I said, you know what? I said, this is a money mindset. It's because, you know, her everything else was buried in the website because she didn't feel like she was worthy to go and ask for those services. And I'm like, but if you only have the $3 item on your homepage and they got to search for the $2,500 item, how are you ever going to make money? So that was her money mindset. So when you say money mindset, what are some of the things that you see with people in their money mindsets?
Well, one of the things that's really kind of important to know here is that your money mindset is really formed by the age of 7 for the most part. And so if you don't do anything, if you don't get any further financial education, and education is one of the things I really stress, but if you don't get any more than that, many people are running around today doing things based upon what a 7-year-old would do. Mm-hmm. And in some cases that gets really kind of scary. And so what I see people doing is doing all kinds of things to shoot themselves in the foot. So one of the things when I work with clients is I always tell them, you know, give me the gun. And they look at me like I'm crazy when I tell them give me the gun. But I ask for the gun because I want to take it and I want to get all the bullets out so that when they shoot themselves in the foot, which many of them will do, it doesn't hurt. So we go through a whole process of really understanding where they are now and sort of how they got there. Because it's that old thing, you know, those who don't understand their history are doomed to repeat it, you know. So we really do a deep dive into where you are now. And then we look at where do you want to go, you know, kind of thing. And then we build that bridge between where you are now and where you want to go. And the whole thing about putting in the accountability and things like that is so that you do have that ongoing, because the things that you do now or the places that you are now are because of habits that you have. And you were talking about her just putting that one thing up there. Her probably one of the things that she was thinking was that people will only buy something if it's inexpensive kind of thing. And so that is, you know, I was always tell clients, I used to work in business a lot, and I always tell them, stop trying to climb into somebody else's pockets because you don't know what's in their pockets. And so if you're constantly deciding what people can and cannot afford, then you're really shooting your own stuff in the foot on many occasions.
Absolutely. You can't spend out of someone else's pocket. Absolutely not. Now, Patricia, I have more questions for you, but I am going to come back. I want to go ahead and introduce our next guest, Mr. Mache Allen. Mache is a photographer. He has stock imagery, audiobook narration, and he specializes in all of it with his lovely wife. Good morning, Mache. How are you?
Hey, Sharifa. How you doing?
Thank you for joining me.
Indeed.
Indeed. So I have a question for you. Okay. What is umbrella?
I'm listening. Yes. Yes. What is your question that you have for me?
What is umbrellastock.com?
So a lot of times, and I don't know if it's something that you try to do, but people who are like graphic designers or build websites or anything like that, when they need images of Black people just doing regular stuff, they have a really hard time finding it. And there's a couple of reasons for that. But because of that, like, I kind of wanted to create stuff like that. And it does a couple things. One, it gives people in that space those images. But the other thing is it kind of gives us control of our narrative and like things that we do. Like one simple thing, like I have an image of a little Black girl swimming. And it's always said that Black people don't swim. Well, obviously that's not true because I have an image of it. You know, so when we can create things like that, that really tell our story ourselves, I think we change things in the wider world when they can see different images of us doing life and they can stop asking stupid questions, you know?
I agree, but I'm more on the, that's like kind of half true because the little girl was swimming, but by the time she about 20, 25 and her hair is fly, she not going swimming no more. I'm just telling you.
Well, one of my twins has locks, so she will swim.
How old is she?
She's 9, but she has locks.
Okay. Okay. I'm in about what? What is it about? 11 years. I'm gonna call you and say, Miss Shay is your daughter. I'll swim it. I'm not trying to say you wrong. I'm just saying. No, that's interesting, but you bring up an excellent point. I built my first website in 1994. So I've been doing this for a long time. And one of the things that I find, especially, you know, with our people, is that we go out and look at all these images and there aren't a lot of Black people in them. There weren't a lot of Black people in them. And so I would ask different people, you know, the designers that would help me to design websites and have, you know, different types of people on there. And they would always bring back, to a certain extent, multicultural images. But in the multicultural images, there were never Black people. Wow. It's like you have to specifically go and look for Black people because, I mean, especially over the years, it's getting a lot better now. But when you look at crowds, when you look at, you know, different people, it's always like maybe just one Black, if any.
Right. Right. I remember seeing like one issue is there tends to not be just images of a happy Black family. Mm-hmm. You know, the family's either mixed or there's only a single mom, you know, mm-hmm. and that's not my experience. I have a wife, I have 5 kids. My mom and dad have been together for 40 something years. So my understanding is there can be happily married Black people with families. But if you look at, you know, just out in society, that will lead you to believe that that does not exist. And that's just not true.
So why did you decide that you had to do something about this?
So in actuality, I do one thing and it actually expresses itself across all of my businesses. So my aim is to represent Black people properly and take control of our own story. So as a stock, you know, as a stock imager, funny story with that. The reason, to be honest, the reason why I started Umbrella Stock, I have a friend who does background vocals for like gospel singers, right? So I'm like, okay, that's good imagery I can get because a lot of people don't have that. So shot the images. I took it back to another stock site that I work with and was like, hey, I'm going to upload these. I'm going to use them. And they were like, well, you need a press pass. I'm like, it was a pastor's anniversary. There is no press pass. And I mentioned that to my business coach and he was like, why don't you just make your own stock site? And I was like, oh. You know, and then back to me doing the one thing, you know, my wife and I narrate audiobooks. And again, like you read Black authors. So there was this one story I saw written by a Black woman who had gone to jail and she changed her life. And it was her life story. But when you listen to the audiobook, there's a white guy narrating it. Why? Because she probably couldn't find a Black narrator. You know, so we wanted to put ourselves in that space so that Black people could express themselves properly, you know, because there's a way that we speak. There's life experience lived by us that needs to be communicated properly. You know what I mean? So there's that.
I see your passion. I love when people are passionate about what they do. That's the best for me. Not people who just come and say, this is my product, this is my service, this is what I do. I love your passion. I want to go over to Sharice real quick. Listening to Mache's story, Sharice, or his experience, you're a PR person. What would you do to help him get out there?
The first thing I do would be go to get stock photos because that is absolutely my problem. I absolutely have the worst time ever when it comes to creating content, even for social media. You have the hardest time finding stock pictures that have African-American women, African-American men. It's so difficult.
Wow.
But just like you said, with the controlling the narrative, I think that is so important. No one realizes how important that is until you have someone else telling your story and they tell it wrong. So mm-hmm. I absolutely agree. I full heartedly with what he's doing. And I'm checking out your website too, just so you know. So I might tag you in a stock photo or something.
Come on, Cletus. Come on, Cletus.
Patricia, you work with entrepreneurs and small business owners and help them. What are some ways that you were able to get your book out there?
Oh, you know, the thing that I realized when you write a book, writing it is just the start of things. It's really, you have to get out there and really market the book yourself. And when I wrote that book, it was one of the, I just, I, I had no fear after that. It's like, if you can write a book in 3 months, you can do anything, you know? Mm-hmm. So one of the things that I did is I started writing to major people, and I wrote to Earl Graves at Black Enterprise. And it was in Black Enterprise. My book was in Black Enterprise. And I started connecting with local TV stations and things like that. And I was on TV. And so I did a whole bunch of things really related to that to really promote the book. And in the process, got a chance to promote myself and became for a while one of the people that they called a lot to answer questions, money questions and things like that. So that was really... whenever somebody asks me, should I write a book, I tell them, the first thing you have to do is you have to realize what your purpose is for writing the book. Mm-hmm. And my purpose really was to educate people. That was the real reason that I wrote it. But then I realized if I'm going to educate people and nobody knows I exist, then I have to go that extra mile to make sure that people do know I exist so they can buy the book, so they can get educated, you know, kind of thing.
Yes, but it's also a tool so that you don't have to keep repeating yourself. And that may sound like a bad thing to some people, but it's actually one of the reasons I launched Ask Sharifa Radio in 2009 is because when I built my first website, people wanted me to build their website. When I started marketing my website, people wanted me to market their website. And it was always Ask Sharifa, Ask Sharifa, Ask Sharifa. I had so many questions. I'm like, you know what? I'm going to answer all these questions one time and that's it. Then after that, if people have a question, I'm like, you better tune in tomorrow to Ask Sharifa Radio because I'm going to answer those questions. So it's kind of the same thing with your book. You have the questions in the book so you can just refer them to it.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And then I didn't stop there. I have another book called How to Get Divorced Without Losing Your Blouse. And that
I think I needed that book like 20 years ago.
I know. That's what everybody says to me. I gave it to this one woman and she was happily married and went home and put it on the coffee table. And her husband comes in and he says, are you trying to tell me something? You know? And so she said, I have to give you your book back. I can't have it in the house because you know it's too much. It's too much there. But really, every time I start to get a series of questions on a topic, I write a book. So I've got several books along those lines. Yeah.
See, I'd have handled that situation differently, just knowing who I am. I'd have left that book right on that coffee table. And every time he got out of line, I'd be like, you know, I got Patricia's book. Right there with the coffee table.
Patricia told me to do, like, you keep playing, I'm going to do what Patricia told me to do.
Exactly. That's how you keep them in line, huh, Michelle?
It works for men, too. It's written for women, but it's the same principles work for men as well. So just in case. Yeah.
Wow. Nah, we won and done. This is my last marriage.
That is so beautiful. That is so beautiful. Now, Menaja, you are in the military working on your own business. You want to help other people. What are some of the challenges that you experienced as a startup?
So many experiences I experienced is one is called skin in the game. When you go into real estate, one of the biggest things is you're not going to get that first yes on the first deal you get. So it's being able to toughen up, learn how to make the phone, the cold calls to be able to reach out and get your first deal. Now, once you get your first deal, you're going to be excited for all of 2 minutes because then it's putting on the boots and getting ready to go to work. While doing that, while having a career, it's time management. One of the biggest things I will say is I learned time management and how to be able to effectively and efficiently do everything that I'm doing right now.
You know, Menaja, I'm gonna say this just simply because it's Tuesday and I have nothing better to do, but and the guests are on my show and I'm listening to you talk and I'm thinking about the military and I'm thinking about cold calling and you just seem like such a delicate flower to me. You just seem like you're not, like when I think of cold calling, maybe it's just me, I think of a Wolf of Wall Street. I think, you know, like let's get this money kind of thing. And I'm looking at you and you're just like, and we call. I'm like, okay, do you call? Seriously.
So for me, it's my life experience in the Navy. It's my current rate is ABE. So what I do in the Navy, besides being a current recruiter, is I launch and recover aircraft off the flight deck. Once you have that kind of experience in you and—
Okay, hold on, hold on. I need the Lord right now, because I'm praying. Like, when you say aircraft, you mean like planes, right?
Yes.
So the government allowed you to go and get these aircrafts?
No. So have you ever seen an aircraft carrier before?
Yes.
On the flight deck, how you have the personnel that's working to launch the aircraft into the sky?
Yes. That's what I'm saying. That's you.
Yes. I'm part of that crew.
But you look like, I got to do a survey. Mache, Cherise, Patricia, y'all work for me. Doesn't she look like a delicate flower? Is that me? Just, am I alone on this?
I'm pretty sure she is a completely different person. When she say go, I hope they would go. But yes, we were all shocked.
I'm trying to get that side of her to come out. It's going to come out. It's going to be 8:55 and real Minaj is going to come out.
I don't think there's another side. I think it's entirely possible to gently crush things, and I think that's like who she is. She's like this. There's this gentle power that you can have, you know what I mean, that you can't be stopped, and you're not arguing and you're not mad, but people know that it's no point in pushing against you because you're not going to move. I feel that.
Oh, that was
yeah, deep. The old walk softly and carry a big stick, you know, kind of thing. So she's, you know, yeah, no, I can see her being just as she is, you know. Yeah.
Thank you.
I interrupted your entire who you are because I was over there on my own little thing. But because I look and I'm just like, you just so polite and so sweet, you know. And I'm like, in the Navy, I think, first of all, because I'm sexist, I am. Like, I think of men, and then I think of like the women, they're always, to me, more aggressive, you know. But that's why I didn't join the military. I'm gonna tell y'all a secret, only because it's Tuesday again. But when I was in high school, the recruiters used to call me all the time and they say, Sharifa, would you like to join? And I would say, no. And they would say, why? I said, because you do more before 9 a.m. than I do all day. So, no.
I can agree with that because for me, I start my day at 5 and I'm just off
in the morning?
Up. Yes.
Okay, I'm listening.
Well, okay, let me ask, have everybody been getting their daily exercises?
Oh, there's Menage. She came out. No, ma'am. No. I had some exercise when I was in high school. That's what I did.
So for me, I start my day off with exercise. Like you mentioned earlier, I do have a pet dog. My husband and I, we have, his name is Rigger. He's an older dog. He's now 7. We adopted him when he was 5. So we get our early walks in. Well, he likes to slow it down just a little bit, just to sniff. But we do our early exercises. Then once I come in from that shower, get ready for work. But then by 7 to 9, because my work day starts at 9, the cold calls, talking to property managers, speaking with my PR, or doing any type of training that I need to do for work. So that way by 9 a.m., I can go into my career path with the Navy, do what I do there. And then by 5 or 6 when I'm home, it's happy family time. So time management, being able to do everything. And for me, when I went into the Navy, it was to help me not only build myself as a person, be able to pay for my education, and of course money as well, to be able to start everything.
You're gonna pick up Patricia's book?
Yes, I am.
You gotta start young. You gotta find out how to mine your money.
Yes.
Well, that's interesting. Cherise, we got to get Patricia's book out there. She got a couple of them coming out. What we going to do, Cherise, is you and I.
What path can we take with the book?
I'm sorry.
We didn't hear you, Cherise.
What path can we take with the book where she's been in? Oh, am I muted?
No, I can hear you now.
Okay. I'm about to say, what kind of media outlet can we take with the book? But she's already been in Black Enterprise and on TV. How big we can get from that besides Essence or something?
I've been in Essence too.
Well, here's the thing though, Sharice, because we PR people, we have to learn or have the art of the spin. So we had it in Black Enterprise once, so we have to re-spin this story. That's why I need your help, so we can get it back in Black Enterprise.
Definitely. How
we
go like the homeschool circuit
after COVID would like be the whole like, yeah, there you go.
It would actually be a really good book for high schoolers as well to the thing that really I think is kind of criminal in our society today is that they don't have money education in schools.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And because they don't, so many people get off on the wrong foot. Believe it or not, there are still people who are getting Social Security and paying off student loans.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it is. And imagine if you knew all of this before you got into all of those kinds of troubles and things like that, if you had that education. I actually got started in this business because I let somebody else manage my money and they lost it all.
Oh, wow. Mm.
And it's like, you know what? This is not, you know, fool me once kind of thing. This is not happening to me again. Mm-hmm. So I was a business consultant and almost overnight I switched to become a financial consultant because it's like, you know what? One of the best ways to learn how to manage my money is to learn how to manage other people's money. And so it's in, and I knew that no one was going to let me do that inside of a financial planning firm without really monitoring everything I did. So I got a chance to learn and I learned from the best. And then I started teaching and it was just a short while after I finished that particular part of it that I wrote the book. And so the book is really steeped in all of the main basic things that you need to know to be able to be okay and to take charge of your money, because money does equal choice. The more money you have, the more choices you have.
Yeah.
And we're really profoundly, sinking ourselves if we think that money is something that will take care of itself. No, we need to take care of our money ourselves. And beyond that, money is really power. And I think we need to really just really get, you know, cut to the core here, because when you have money, money does talk. So yeah.
Patricia, is your book audio?
It's not audio. I have about doing that. The divorce book is audio.
Okay. This,
and so I'm really in the process of rewriting it, rewriting the Minding Your Money book, because it's been out before. It was before audiobooks were, you know, before I got into that whole thing. Yeah. But I think that's a great idea for when I rewrite it, is to have an audio version. Yeah.
Indeed.
Yeah.
Yes. So let me just ask you this, Patricia. You mentioned the education. Financial literacy is definitely important, but I think sometimes equally important is just unlearning some of the things that we've learned as children, like some of the phrases like money doesn't grow on trees. These are things that are set in our mind so that we believe throughout our lifetime. Have you found that to be true?
Absolutely. And what that does is, you know, even though consciously, you know, we have the conscious and the subconscious mind. So even though consciously we may know that money is not the, you know, the root of all evil kind of thing, by just saying that, your subconscious may think it's true. And so when you see a pattern of money coming in and going out, or you're trying to get rid of it as quickly as it comes in and things like that, all of those things really grate on you. And you do so many of these things automatically. You don't even realize what you're doing. And so you really have to be conscious of all the things that you're doing with your money to begin to change that. And all those little sayings, even though they don't mean much to you, they may mean a lot to your subconscious and cause you to do all kinds of weird stuff with your money.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So Manaja, how did you initially get into investing in real estate?
For me, I wanted to actually own my own mall. However, with everything that's going on.
I didn't mean to cut you off, but you said you wanted to own your own mall?
Yes, that was actually my original dream. I wanted to own my own mall. However, with everyone going towards online shopping, it was something that I just didn't see would fit in my long-term plan. So when I learned about getting into the malls, I learned about multifamily at the same time. And when I learned about multifamily, that's when I learned about the need for affordable housing and how going to different areas that are being developed or currently undeveloped and being able to develop them, that led into my passion of being able to help communities have the affordable housing that they need or want. So that way, not only does it fit my long-term plans, but I also am able to help and get back to the community in multiple ways.
Manaja, I have a question. So have you considered, or is there any type of connection, or does it work the same way virtual real estate?
Yes, because everything I've done has been from home.
Not virtual work, but actual like virtual property, as opposed to, since the real estate game has changed, right? You couldn't get into the mall space, but like digital real estate.
Oh, so I have personally not went into that because I just wanted to stay in multifamily. Once mm-hmm. I become more educated in that specific realm, then I will go into virtual real estate. But for now, I wanted to start with something more brick and mortar and concrete to start my foundation.
Well, I like that. You think big, that's for sure. I've never in my life heard someone say they want to own a mall. I've heard people say they want to own a store and then kind of build out. But she's like, no, I want the entire mall. That's my mall. Something I would do. Because I'm like, this whole city, we're going to rename Long Beach to Sharifa Hardy there. Like, that's just me. I don't know. But I like that. That's a good thing. Michelle, you're being very helpful. I like your questions. Wonderful. I have a question for you. With your stock images, do you shoot all of them yourselves, or you are creating opportunities for other photographers?
Absolutely creating opportunity. There's only so much that I can do on my own, you know? So I'm actually always looking for contributors. And at one point I was only looking for photographers, but now I'm also looking into artists and illustrators as well, because there's a need for Black clip art. I was working on a project and I didn't want a photo. I wanted just a Black hand ringing a doorbell and I could not find it. Now, they were white hands, so it wasn't that I couldn't find a hand ringing a doorbell, but there were no Black hands. So I also need, you know, illustrators. And I, you know, that's something, yeah, definitely. And the way I do it on my site is, of course, if you're a contributor, anyone that purchases an image, purchases your image, you get a percentage of that. And that's the other thing I'm passionate about, making money when I'm not around, you know? So that's what I love about stock imagery, is you can actually build up this bank of money and you're not doing anything. You shot the picture once, you submitted the image, and if people like it, then they purchase it, and then you end up making money without being around. That's the great thing about books too. You know, you write a book and you write it once, and then people buy it, and you know, you get surprise money that you weren't even looking for. You know?
Yes, I agree. But one of the things that stands out to me is when I wrote my book, in the book, there is a white hand. And people said to me, they're like, Sharifa, why do you have this white hand? I was like, I don't know. It was there. Like, it wasn't something that I really put a lot of thought into. I wanted a hand in the book, and that's what they said. But there aren't a lot of choices.
Yeah. Yeah. And then the other thing I think that I'm passionate about, so as a photographer, like, my niche is actually plus size boudoir. So as much as I am passionate about representing Black people, also curvy and plus size people. So that's kind of like the space I'm in, you know.
You smile when you said that though. You just look so happy. You just love your job.
I'm delighted. It's a great day at work. Yeah.
Where's the missus? I want to talk to her. She at work too.
Here's the great thing. So she's like, and I couldn't do this if she wasn't on board with it. You know what I mean? So she's definitely a part of it. One thing, like as a photographer, a lot of, like, all of these images are my babies, so I can't get rid of any of them. So she actually goes through and says, use this image and use this image. You know what I mean? So she's a part of everything that I do. There's a funny story about me painting a woman in gold while my wife is sitting there having a conversation with her, you know? So she's definitely on board with everything.
Shay said, this is my last marriage. I'm not doing this ever again. I found the one.
This is it.
That is beautiful. Why plus size models?
Well, you know, a couple things. One, they have money too, you know.
Amen. Preach.
And it's I've run across a couple situations where I, you know, I'm friends with plus size models and they have difficulties. Like, there's this, I used to live in Orlando, and they would have these big photo shoots with tons of models and photographers just wandering around taking pictures, right? And I remember asking a friend of mine, hey, you going? And she was like, nah, nobody never want to shoot me when I go. And I was like, I mean, but you're beautiful. Why not? You know what I mean? So I think that's the space. I enjoy it. I like the plus size form. The other reason for me, it's much easier to minimize curves than to try to create them if they aren't there. So it works for me. I like the way it looks. And I think it's another issue of changing a narrative of like, oh, she's fat, she can't be beautiful. It's like, no, she's fat and she's beautiful. Let me show you. You know what I mean? And I try to, when I photograph things, to elevate them to the level of art so that it's not just, oh, this is a picture of a pretty woman, of no, this is an engaging image and I enjoy looking at it for what it is, whether there's any sexiness or anything. This is just a great image, you know, and I try to create that in spaces where people wouldn't normally look for it.
Mm-hmm. So you're creating opportunities not only for photographers and artists, but for models as well. So when we look at them, we don't just see, okay, she's fat, but we can use other terms like overweight, you know, like
no, that. I have no problem. No, let's not run. I have no problem with fat. That's a descriptor and it's not a bad thing. Fat. That's the thing. We put this negative association with it. No, like I'm tall. Okay, why is that good? It's just the fact. You know what I mean? But I think there's this idea that if you have so much weight, then there's only bad things that can be said about you. And I want to push forward the fact that none of that is true, that you can be fat and beautiful. And it's just a descriptor. It's not a pejorative, you know?
Mm-hmm. I hear you on your belief and your, and I respect that. So I'm gonna go over here and leave you alone and talk to Sharice. You just heard what Mache had to say about his past as a PR representative with branding. How would you get his models out there?
I know a lot of people who have brands that, you know, they have real, I guess, real women, if you want to put it that way. Everyone's not a size 6. And they mainly make clothes for people who are anywhere from extra small to 3X because they just understand that there are people who would like their clothes and everybody's not that small. So I think that if I were to represent a plus size model, definitely would be looking for those avenues or photographers like Mache who are willing to shoot plus size people or are not afraid to shoot plus size people and get their images out there, because I think that's important. And what we figured out a lot, even during this pandemic, is just that, you know, you have to change with the time. Everyone is not a size 0 because that's just not reality. So I think that it's important for him to do what he's doing in order for us to get those images out there. I even have some stock photos that I actually did find of more curvy Black women, and I actually use those all the time because it makes the image look better, and it's just the reality of it. Natural hair, curves, you know, that's what the industry is calling for, I think.
Let's talk about some of your clients. What are type of genres that you represent, and what type of clients are you interested in representing?
Mainly beauty, because I absolutely love that. My client owns an organic beauty brand. She was my very first client, and she's my cousin, but we'll talk about that later. But she's my very, very first client. So she actually fueled my passion for the beauty industry, because working with her, I got to learn more about it, learn how there is actually a need for more beauty brands that don't have all the chemicals in it. Everyone doesn't want chemicals on their skin. Everyone doesn't want chemicals on their lips and on their eyes, because, you know, most people are allergic to it. So people who want to wear makeup, they can't because there's chemicals in it. But not everyone knows that there are organic, vegan beauty brands that use nothing but natural everything. So working with her kind of brought that to the forefront, was like, wow, I wanted to learn more about that. So working with her made me want to just work with beauty all of the time. I'm willing to work with like fashion and nonprofit because I love working with nonprofit organizations that actually help people, but beauty has become overall my biggest niche since I've started my journey in PR.
Wow, thank you for that. Thank you for all the comments that are coming in. Juana Bray commenting. Vernetta Burge, I'm horrible, 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 horrible.
That's Vernetta from my sisters.
That's what I'm saying, but I'm horrible today. Vernetta says, she's so proud of you. Hershey Carter says to Mache, she says, I would like to work with you. So people are commenting, people are enjoying the show. We have a few minutes left of the show. So if you have questions or comments for today's guest, please feel free to ask. A lot of interest in what you're doing, Mache. You want to get some plus size models out there. You got some plus size models interested in working with you.
Well, what's really cool is, so I'm in South Florida, right? Mm-hmm. But I also shoot virtually. So it really doesn't matter where you are. We can actually set up a photo shoot and I can shoot you where you are, regardless of the fact that you're not in South Florida. So you can find me, you know, anywhere.
We're going back to the ad. But how do you shoot someone virtually? I mean, it's the same quality, it's still as clear, like through Zoom.
It really is. It's amazing. So short story is, either we're gonna be using your phone or your computer, and then I'll be using my camera on my side. And it's like, nah, bro, that sounds janky. Absolutely not. Totally works. You know, there's things that I know, there's things that I do on the back end that make it work. You know what I mean? And I even, in this digital world where we're in, where everybody's on punishment and at the house, even if you're not a model, if you're a business owner, you probably want to update your headshot for LinkedIn at the very least. You know, so that's something that I can do as well. At A Sharp Photo everywhere on social media. And you can send me an email at curator@asharpphoto.biz.
So if someone needs to update their LinkedIn photo, because I'm pretty sure I need to update mine. I think I've been holding on to mine since the 20s. Okay. But what kind of packages do you offer? Do you just do that shot, or what are we looking at? Not pricing. I don't want your pricing on here. How many photos?
So one, it kind of depends on who you are and what you need, right? So if you're like, well, I'm a business owner, I just need a headshot. You know, that's one level of work. If you're like, well, I'm a model, you know what I mean? And I do brand work, that's another level. And even if you're like, listen, I just want pictures for me, just for myself. You know what I mean? So that's something that we discuss based on what you need. I love to do video too. I wouldn't really do video virtually, but if, you know, if you're ever in South Florida, you know, the great thing, what is it? It's December now. We can shoot swimwear right now. You know what I mean? So I love it.
Look at that smile. I love Michelle's smile.
Absolutely.
That is wonderful. What if you're not a model, but you want to pretend you're a model when you're actually a business consultant? I'm asking for a friend.
Right. Well, see, I am a boudoir photographer. So you don't have to be a model. It's my job to get you to look the way that you need to look, you know? And I know a lot of people's like, well, I'm uncomfortable and I don't take pictures. And it's like, so I also have training as an actor. So I normally approach it in that way. So I try to get into your head, because whatever you're thinking is going to have an effect on your body and on your face, as opposed to you trying to look pretty. You can't do that, but you can feel a certain way, and then that will make you exude something, you know?
Mm-hmm. I think that is powerful. Now, we are coming down to the last few minutes of the show, and what I love to do at the end of every show is just simply allow my guests the opportunity to speak directly to the audience, to everyone who is watching the show live, as well as everyone who is watching in the archives, and let them know what you want them to take away from your appearance here today. And we're going to start with you, Patricia.
Great. Well, one of the things that I would like to do is I would like to invite everyone to a webinar that I'm having in January. It's January the 26th. You can go to my website at patriciastallworth.com, and it's on the front page. So you just scroll down and sign up. One of the things that I always love to leave people with is just the thought from my book. It's, if you don't mind your money, someone else will, and then they will control your future. So it is so important. Money has a mind of its own. Half of the equation is to earn money. The other half is actually to manage your money. And so those are the things that I love to work with clients with. I work on a collaborative basis. We do a holistic approach. Would love to just offer people a complimentary consultation just to talk about you, where you want to go, and your money.
Thank you for that. I appreciate that. Menasia, what do you have for us?
For me, I would like everyone to check out my website. It's anasa.org, where you will be able to follow the latest updates on all of the properties and up and coming properties. You will also be able to shop where there are some home accessories. I have my own store, so I do want everyone to check it out.
What's in the store?
I have from pillows to some items for the kitchen and even some clothing accessories. Even you can buy a mask where it has a NASA logo on it, so that way you can represent a NASA.
I think that's powerful. Thank you, Manaja. Charisse, what do you have for us?
I want everyone to look forward to the new year. Anyone who feels like they may have lost their brand voice or lost their brand's visibility, I want to speak to those people who are beauty brands, lifestyle brands, even individuals who feel like they have a story and that the story needs to be told. They can follow me on Instagram. It's I am Charisse PR. And my link is on my bio in my Instagram page. It has a link to my website, my calendar, so that you can schedule a free discovery call. 15 minutes are free. I do charge for a 50 minute consultation. But I'm also looking to work with people who just may not know how to even get started. If you need to rebrand, I also want to look for those people, because 2020 was a very hard year for everyone. I've seen a lot of small businesses and small brands actually stop and halt because of what happened with this year. So if you're looking to start back up, we definitely need to speak.
When you say brand voice, I've never heard, I understand what you're saying, but I've never heard someone just go, you know what, I've lost my voice. How does a person determine that they've lost their brand voice?
Because at this point, you don't even know what to do with your brand. You don't even know if you've lost your audience. You don't even know how to get that audience back or what it is that you should put out to get your audience back interested in what you were doing. So sometimes you actually can lose your voice. It could come from you losing your visibility during the pandemic, or because you kind of just lost your spark for it. You can lose it a lot of ways. It's not hard at all.
And when it's lost, they just call Charisse PR and you will help them out.
Absolutely.
I like that. Michelle, what do you have for us?
All right, so I have a few things, so y'all be patient with me, right? I'm not scattered. It's going to sound like a lot, but my wife and I, through ghostreaders.com, we support authors and podcasters with audio and visual services. So if that's something that you need, check out ghostreaders.com. Of course, umbrellastock.com, we create stock imagery. And if you are a photographer or an artist, go to umbrellastock.com/passive-income to sign up. And of course, if you want to take photos, and whether that's physically in South Florida or virtually wherever you are, you can go to asharpphoto.biz and you can book there.
Yes. And your email address you gave for contact?
Curator at asharpphoto.biz. And also, just a side note, with Ghostreaders, we do provide templates. So if you're like, well, I want to record my stuff as a podcaster or as an author or what have you, we actually have templates for Audacity, Logic, and GarageBand. And you just drop your audio in there and it sounds great coming out.
Wow, very impressive. I want to thank you all for being guests on today's episode of the Roundtable Talk Show. And I especially want to thank everyone who tuned in to watch the show live, as well as everyone who is watching in the archives. Just because you didn't catch the live show does not mean you're not important. You're very important to me, very important to the show, and we still need your support. Please go ahead and share the show, but don't just watch the show. Don't just share the show. Please support our guests. Visit their websites. Their information is in the Facebook post. And I think throughout this show, we mentioned quite a few of their websites. So check them out, follow them on social media, send them a message. And when you do, please let them know Sharifa Hardy says hi. Now, if you're interested in more ways that I can help your business, or maybe you want to go ahead and pick up your tickets to my new year, new day, 2-day teleconference, which is starting in 3 minutes. 3 minutes from now, we're going to have a 2-day teleconference. You can pick up your tickets on my website at asksharifa.com. Until tomorrow morning, Wednesday morning, which is the last show of 2020. The last show is tomorrow. Tune in tomorrow. And until then, everyone have a safe and a blessed day. Bye now.
Struggling to increase your sales or website conversions? Are you looking for new ways to promote your business through social media or any other campaign? If yes, then you're at the right place. Ask Sharifa has 25 years of experience and the track record to guide you to success. From business planning to social media marketing, from website designing to website development, from search engine optimization to paid traffic, we will research your business, your products and/or services, and the competition to develop a custom growth strategy for your business. Contact us now, and we will help you bring your business growth to the next level. For more information, visit www.asksharifa.com.